All right, so let's talk about the Lebanon blast. It probably won't be a long video, but let me relay a story to you, Alexander. And it's related. I don't want to say it's related to Lebanon, but there's a lot of talk, especially after what Trump said, which I don't think we should take too seriously. I mean, you'll get into that. I mean, he's the president of the United States, but I don't think what he said, you know, it being an attack, it was an attack. But let me relay a story to you. In 2011, the summer of 2011, I was actually in Cyprus at the time. And there was a huge blast, massive blast, about 3 kilotons. It blew out the entire, the half of the power grid of Cyprus. Literally 50% of all power just got blown out. And it was on, it was close to a power plant, sitting on like a military naval base where they store ammunition and stuff. And what happened to Alexander, this was really a massive blast, and a lot of people have forgotten about it. What happened is that at that time, Cyprus was forced by Hillary Clinton in the U.S. To take a ship that was seized, which apparently had all types of weapons heading to from Iran to Syria. And the U.S. seized it, and Hillary Clinton told Cyprus, take the weapons in. And so the Cyprus government took the weapons in. But they didn't do anything with the weapons. What they ended up doing is they ended up storing them kind of, you know, on the hot sand for months at a time. They just didn't dispose it properly. Okay, the government made excuses afterwards. And they said, well, we tried to get the UN. We petitioned the U.S. to take them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality of it is they took all these weapons and armaments and they just had them sitting there for the most part. And during the heat, something happened and a fire broke and the whole thing just blew. Just a massive explosion. Why am I telling you this? I want to say this because the tragedy that happened in Lebanon, and it is a real tragedy, is something that has happened in the past in other places. I mean, this is, I don't want to say it's a common thing, but it's not uncommon to have such negligence when you're storing ammunitions, fireworks, explosives, these types of things. Governments can be very negligent at times. And all it takes is one accident or one spark and the whole thing can blow. Anyway, Alexander, get to the Lebanon story.
It's very interesting what you've told me, because we've now been getting more information about this tragedy. And can I just say before we proceed, this is a terrible tragedy. I mean, the governor of Beirut is saying that 200,000 people have been left homeless. Lebanon has been having a massive economic crisis, which we're going to talk about briefly. One is extremely upset and distressed for the people of Lebanon and for the people of Beirut, who've already been having a terrible time, and now this has come on top of that. But what you've just told me corresponds very much with the information we've been getting. Now, this is still early, and of course this may be subject to change, but allegedly there was a ship coming from Mozambique full of unstable fertilizer. Now, fertilizer can be very easily converted into explosives because it's all based on nitrates. It's the same sort of stuff that is converted into explosives. The ship was seen as dangerous. The fertilizer, the chemicals on the ship were seen as dangerous. Pressure was put on the Lebanese government to unload this material. It was stored in a warehouse in the port of Beirut. This apparently happened in 2013, not so long after the event that you've just described in Cyprus. And it was basically neglected and forgotten. And this material, which is already very unstable, progressively got increasingly less stable. And in the hot weather, of course, we've now had this terrible tragedy, this extraordinary explosion. Now, that seems to me to be very close to what you've just described. Now, let's be careful because this is, of course, the official story, the official version. It may change over the next couple of days. It may be that it wasn't just fertilizer in that warehouse, but other things too. I mean, you're talking about weapons, illegal weapons. The Middle East is full of illegal arms dealing. So, you know, I'm not by any means discounting that possibility. But there are striking parallels between the story you've just told me and what has just happened in Lebanon. So what happened in Cyprus in 2011 has now happened in Lebanon, it seems, in Beirut in 2020. If it really was what you say, then it shows that in the 2 years after the tragedy in Cyprus, the disaster in Cyprus, nothing had been learned, and the Lebanese government, which is systemically corrupt and extraordinarily inefficient, learned nothing from this tragedy and wasn't addressing the problems or the dangers, and has exposed the Lebanese people to great danger and has brought devastation on the people of Beirut. So you're right, it has happened before. It's happened now in Beirut. One is desperately sorry for the people of Beirut.
Yeah, it's an absolute tragedy. Let's talk, though, about two scenarios that a lot of analysts and pundits are talking about, and they're throwing it out there. And one of those scenarios stems from what Trump said, which, when you read the statement carefully, Trump didn't say it was definite. The generals didn't also say that they have definite information. It seems like they were spitballing it as well. That's the first thing. But you have to really read the statements carefully. It seems that the generals and Trump were spitballing that it could be a possible attack. But that's the first thing. I want you to address that. The second scenario, which a lot of people are talking about, which is the elephant in the room, is Israel. And it was some attack by Israel or Hezbollah, but mostly people are talking about Israel. And for this, I want to take you to a Zero Hedge article, and they actually cover the Lebanon blast really well. And let me read you a couple paragraphs from the Zero Hedge article. One unnamed Israeli government official told AFP that Israel had nothing to do with the incident, and Benny Gantz has actually offered to send humanitarian aid to Beirut. Offers of aid also came from bitter rivals Israel, which is still technically at war. Defense Minister Benny Gantz and Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, on behalf of the State of Israel, have offered the Lebanese government, via international intermediaries, medical and humanitarian aid, as well as immediate emergency assistance, said a joint statement from the two ministries. If Israel really had been behind this attack, I seriously doubt that they would be offering to patch up their enemies. And this isn't Israel's style either.
No.
The Israelis prefer surgical strikes that avoid civilian casualties as much as possible. And this explosion definitely does not fit that profile. Instead, it appears that this was some sort of deeply tragic accident. Lebanese officials have admitted that 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate were stored in the unit that exploded. And that amount of ammonium nitrate can definitely produce the sort of explosion that we just witnessed. That's what you just said a couple of minutes ago, Alexander. That is coming from Zero Hedge. Once again, I think you're right by telling all our viewers we still don't have all the details. So it could have been many different scenarios. But from what it looks like right now, I think we understand pretty much what happened here. Pretty much. I don't want to say definite, though, because we're still getting information.
I don't think it was Israel. I'm going to say that straight away. And I'm quite sure it wasn't. I think it's most unlikely it was an attack. I'm not going to discount that possibility that it was an attack entirely, because, of course, this is a war zone. I mean, there's the war going on in Syria. There's always armed clashes going on in Lebanon between various groups there. And, of course, Lebanon itself is a battleground between the Shiite group Hezbollah, who are the implacable enemies of Israel, and the Israelis and Hezbollah are regularly exchanging fire with each other. And of course, sabotage and all that goes on all the time. But the reason I don't think it was the Israelis is firstly because of what you just said. I mean, it seems most unlikely that the Israelis, it doesn't follow their pattern of operations. They have a formidable air force. They can launch airstrikes. That's what they tend to do. They would target military installations controlled by Hezbollah. I don't see why they would launch an attack of this kind in the middle of Beirut. Also, the Israelis, when they do tend to launch these attacks in Lebanon, maybe not so much in other places, but in Lebanon, they tend to be fairly forthcoming about it. But the overwhelming reason why I don't think it was the Israelis is that the other side, their implacable enemies, Hezbollah, are not saying that it was. In fact, Hezbollah is insisting that there was no exchange of fire, and it doesn't seem as if the Hezbollah thinks it was Israel. So if Hezbollah doesn't think it was Israel, then we shouldn't jump to the conclusion that it was Israel. Everything points to it being an accident. I think what Trump and the generals in the United States in Washington were saying was that they were putting two and two together, and they said this is a war zone. Things can go tragically wrong in war zones. Perhaps this is what happened in this case, but I think they put two and two together in this case, and then they made five. I think this was an accident. Lebanon has been very badly run for a very long time. The Lebanese government is deeply corrupt. That's not just my opinion, it's the opinion of most Lebanese people. There have been protests against it. The Lebanese economy has collapsed. The banking system in Lebanon is in deep crisis. The country is running out of food. The currency has crashed. All of these things point to criminal negligence by authorities in Lebanon that are deeply compromised, deeply corrupt, and no longer have the situation properly under control. That seems to me by far the most plausible and likely explanation of what has happened.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, Alexander. I agree. I think this is a Lebanon that has had a terrible year, and is just being absolutely mismanaged to the point of where they've actually gone to the IMF to try and get some sort of bailout, and they can't even get that done.
No, because the economy, its banking system has been exposed as essentially a Ponzi scheme operated by the Bank of Lebanon, the central bank, and they don't really seem to be able to face up to that. So I mean, it's a tragedy. If you know Lebanese people, I know lots of Lebanese people, by the way, and I'm dead deeply sorry and worried for all of them. But you know what hardworking and honest people they are. Around the world, how much they've achieved, how successful they are. I say this as a Greek. We always say in Greece, Greeks are successful in every country but their own. Lebanon seems to be the same. And it's very, very tragic and very sad.
So, yeah. Lebanese people are fantastic. And we have a lot of Lebanese citizens that live in Cyprus as well. Yeah. And in Greece. And we have a lot of love for the Lebanese people. So anyway, we'll be following this story, and we'll see if something develops that's contrary to what, we've discussed here in this video.
Yes.
Any other final thoughts, Alexander, or should we sign it off?
I think we can sign it off because we just don't have any information. But if the situation changes, if new information comes to light, you can be sure that we'll be here reporting on it. Absolutely. It's always what we do.
All right. Let's sign it off. Guys, please subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button. And also donate to us if you can. PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. You'll find those links underneath the description box. In the description box underneath the video, and go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise.
It
helps us out.
Mugs. This one with the Greek flag. And as I said, we've been talking about Lebanon. Lebanon and Greece have very close, friendly relations. We are two nations, Greece and Lebanon, with incredibly long history with each other. The Greek alphabet, for those who don't know, the Greek alphabet was derived from the Phoenician alphabet, which was developed in what is now Lebanon. So here we go. These are our mugs, best mugs in the world. You can find them on our shop. But I don't want to say too much in a video where we've covered this kind of topic. Yeah. But come to our shop and you'll find great.
We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there, and we'll be following this this story. All right, guys, take care.